Do you ever find yourself looking for the, quote, right way to homeschool? Sometimes we get swept up in doing what others are doing and then find ourselves frustrated with the results. But how do we develop confidence to do what's right for our family, even if it isn't what everyone else is doing? That's what we're talking about in today's episode. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades now through her literature-based approach to education. In this episode from the archive, Carol talks with her friend Christina about learning to find what fits her family best and how to embrace the perfectly imperfect life of homeschooling. Before we get into the episode, if you're ready to jump in and learn more about the Homeschool Made Simple approach, we have a special resource for you. We've put together some of our basic teachings to create the HMS Essentials Bundle. In it, you'll learn how to set a solid foundation for homeschooling with a Bible, a library card, and a math program from kindergarten through 12th grade. And the more than 20 pages of book lists will point you toward the very best resources to develop your own creative curriculum. Visit our online store at homeschoolmadesimple.net/store or click the link in the show notes. And don't forget to use coupon code podcast at checkout to receive 15% off the HMS Essentials Bundle. Now let's get into the episode.
Well, this morning I'm sitting with my beautiful friend Christina here in Nashville, Tennessee, and Christina and Jason have four amazing children and one child we haven't met yet that's about to burst forth into the world. Calvin is 12, Olivia's 10, Madeline's 8, and Gloria is very much 2. And I am just loving being with this sweet family. I've known Christina since she was 2, very similar to her little girl with the same very adorable personality, kind of a Shirley Temple thing that goes on. And it has just been so fun to be with her. And as we have been spending time together, I just felt like Christina's story would be so helpful for so many other people. She's kind of the universal mom that's gone through this homeschool journey, and I wanted her to share her story. So welcome, Christina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So tell us, first of all, about your childhood educational experience.
Okay. Well, I was homeschooled from birth. Never went to traditional public school and graduated from homeschool as well.
Yeah. And how did that serve you?
I think the best way that it served me is it made me a reader. We were read to. We had our shelves filled with beautiful, wonderful books, many of which were your recommendation to our family. And I, to this day, love to read. And yeah, I think that's...
That shaped you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as you started to homeschool your own children, what have you done differently from the way maybe you were homeschooled? Yeah. Well, in terms of, was it more of a school at home approach maybe that you were exposed to?
Right. So we were part of the, quote, pioneer generation.
Yeah.
And I think you're familiar with moms that would try this curriculum and that curriculum and just trying to figure out how do we do this, this thing that's never been done before.
That's right.
And so, yes, my mom would try different things almost every year.
And most of us did.
Right.
You're right, because no one had ever, like you said, done it. We couldn't take a homeschooler to lunch. So we were inventing the wheel.
Exactly. So I think the difference for me, so I started out not even sure I wanted to homeschool. And part of that was because seeing, you know, as an adult, you look back on your childhood and reflect on what maybe you would have changed, what you would have done differently. And I mistakenly thought, oh, well, I could fix the things I would have changed by not homeschooling my kids. That was what needs to change. When in fact, maybe just to go about it in a different manner. And so what I've come to realize in my own journey is the beauty of being imperfectly perfect. So I'm by nature perfectionist, and I really want to get it right. And so once we did decide to homeschool, I wanted to get it right. And so instead of, you know, following the footsteps of my mom, instead of following in the footsteps of Carol, who is like my second mom, I would try this, I would try that, trying to find what was right,
mm-hmm.
how to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
Not so great.
I was afraid of that.
Should have just listened to you.
Not necessarily.
But some children have to sow their wild oats. But yeah, so I mean, I didn't do anything extreme, but definitely tried things that didn't work. And I think the whole point is coming back to what Carol has told me time and again is that you homeschool unto the Lord. Mm. You homeschool to an audience of one. So getting involved with different groups, getting involved in different curriculums, buying this for geography and this for math or whatever mm-hmm. curriculums, and just piling them up and, you know, thinking this is going to fix our homeschool or this is going to be the right answer. This is going to help me get it right. Mm-hmm. Really was just piling on burdens that yes. the Lord wasn't putting on me.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So most recently, I've walked a little bit with you through the process of being in a group that wasn't a good fit. Talk
right.
about that.
Right. So I was a part of a group that started out as a nature group.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is wonderful.
Yes. We would hike every week together. And it was just very sweet. And mm-hmm. it was a great place to build relationships and encourage one another. Mm-hmm. And then the majority of the members started using the Ambleside curriculum, which is based on Charlotte Mason's philosophy. And so I went right along with it and I tried it, and it was just void. It had no life for our family. And while there were many, many great books on the Ambleside list, just the whole structure of it is really checking the boxes and marching to the beat of another drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, in my experience, that personalized custom suit, you know, that Carol talks about, and hearing the voice of the Lord leading you. There's not that freedom because you've signed up now for this curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Regime.
Yeah. So yeah. We made the decision a year ago to step away from that. And I was really surprised at how much freedom I had letting go of that curriculum and even stepping away from a group of women that I respect and I love. They're my dearest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And yet even to have a more quiet space, to not have so many voices, again, voices I love, but God is calling each family mm-hmm. to their own, you know,
path,
their own path. Right. And so even hearing too much about what God's calling to other families can interfere with what his voice is saying to you. It can make it hard to hear. So that's been just really life-giving, and I felt so free, free unlike I've ever felt, to pursue God's call on our family, and it's just been really peaceful and simple and enjoyable.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the hardest part of leaving that, you know, group of families and the approach
yeah.
that they were using?
Yeah. Well, I think one was the loss of friendship in a way. Mm-hmm. We're all still friends,
mm-hmm.
but we don't see each other as often.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're not using the same curriculum, there's not that shared, you know, way of life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. It's not the same kind of connection. So that's been sad
mm-hmm.
and a little bit hard, but God has provided. And we definitely have families that are friends, and God provides the community. And it, I've always believed this, and it's true. You don't have to have a whole huge group of close friends.
Mm-hmm.
You just need a few close friends
mm-hmm.
for yourself and your kids,
mm-hmm.
and you're golden.
Mm-hmm. That's really true.
Yeah.
That is really true. Yes. So I, you know, Christina, as I consult with families, I hear a lot of families that have compromised in some of their philosophy and approach in order to have friends or community. And can you address that a little bit?
Well, can you give me an example?
Well, there are I work with families who have been in things that the children would cry before they go or on the way
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, and why did you stay in that group? Well, Well, because we needed community, and mm-hmm. We loved the people, and our children needed friends. Mm-hmm. And what would you say to someone like that?
Right. Well, I never had the experience where my kids were crying. Our gatherings were always joyful and happy because they were mostly just social. Mm-hmm. It was more the pressure on me as a
outside
mom.
Outside the time of the group?
Right. Well, and even just with the mothers in that social time, not feeling a connection because I had decided to depart from that curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had my kids be crying or anything like that.
Were they crying when you were reading Plutarch in first grade?
Okay, now you're onto something. Yes. So part of the issue I had with Ambleside was some great resources, great books at the wrong time. And so the right book at the wrong time is the wrong book. So when you're reading Peter Pan in first grade, it's the wrong time, in my experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And
an unabridged Peter Pan.
Right.
Yeah.
Really,
I can barely read an unabridged Peter Pan.
So, and yeah, and then Plutarch, and I don't know what it was, fourth grade or fifth grade, and just really pushing for these advanced things when the children aren't ready.
Yeah.
And of course, we read rich, classical, meaty things.
Yes.
But
you as a family.
As a family, yes. I'm
right.
not opposed to that,
right.
opposed to, quote, hard books.
Mm-hmm.
But also, there just wasn't a guarding of the innocence of children. So we would encounter, I wasn't able to trust the book list because we would read, for instance, we started reading this book, Children of the New Forest. And I think that was also maybe fourth grade. And I think it's a great book. I think it's a horrible book for a fourth grader. There's a murder in the book, and it's it's pretty bad. And and I remember we had gone through this really fun beginning, and it was so, you know, the kids were on their own and they're having to farm, and it's like, oh yes, this is the kind of book we love. And then bam, there's just this horrific murder, and it's all of a sudden the whole tone has changed. And I kept reading with such hesitation. I'm sorry that we finished it.
Bring music into your home this year in a fresh and exciting way. Our family recently got a piano, and our daughter began taking lessons with Vogtberg Music Academy. She has loved their proven step-by-step success path that lets them earn iron-on badges and cash prizes shipped to your home. Children learn to play music with their siblings or individually. These aren't your average online lessons. Students receive face-to-face feedback from their teachers, perform on student showcases, and have 24-hour access to their instructor. Learn to play piano, guitar, mandolin, ukulele, or violin and fiddle right in your own home. This month, use our code HOMESCHOOL20 and get 20% off every month you are enrolled at VogtbergMusicAcademy.com. Music should be for everyone, and learning has never been more efficient and fun. Visit VogtbergMusicAcademy.com or click the link in our show notes to start your own music lessons. Now let's get back to the episode.
So that just happened more than once.
Mm-hmm.
There were, there's a book called Trial and Triumph, I think, and it's a book of, you know, Christian biography, which you love. But again, really graphic.
More information than we needed.
Yes, descriptions. Right. It wasn't age appropriate.
Right.
So there was that side of it. And then there was also the this idea of narrations.
Yes.
So I did get tears with that. So
talk about that.
Okay. So
what do you mean by narration?
Right.
Where did it
so,
come from?
Narration, they say, is something, well, Charlotte Mason talks about narration. So, and the interpretation of narration by Ambleside, and I think some other Charlotte Mason groups, is that the child tells it back to you. And by telling it back means that they've got it. It's their own. And most people would agree, you know, if you can teach somebody something, you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
You've owned it.
Mm-hmm.
However,
yeah.
When you're dealing with maybe a math, something in math where you have your child, okay, now you show me why do we do this? Or, you know, you show me why do you
carry that? Or
right. Mm-hmm. Like, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, because that would be technically narration.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read I don't know. I mean, something as wonderful as Winnie the Pooh. And mm-hmm. then, okay, you read a chapter and then you have your child. Now tell back to me what we just read.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they have to sit there and tell you back the story. So that's called oral narration. And you do that in the early years. But then about, was it fourth or fifth grade, they're supposed to start doing written narrations. My kids didn't mind the oral narration. It was more like a conversation. We were sharing it. But then you hit written narration. And there, no one ever wanted to read the books they were supposed to write a narration for because it was laborious. It was torture. It really took the joy out of it for
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was the kiss
yeah.
of death.
It was,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But what would be a more natural way to see what a child's internalizing as they read a book?
Right. So what happens naturally now is either to just have a conversation about it
mm-hmm.
and, you know, share with me, you
mm-hmm.
know, and like you've said, you know, Johnny, meet Jane, Jane, meet Johnny. And then you let them go off together
as
into the
in
sunset.
Jane Austen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, uh-huh. and then you know, just like a child would talk about a new friend they've made to you, they're
exactly.
going to talk to you about, you know,
that's
my,
right.
my kids are voracious readers and it never fails. Every single day I'm cooking in the kitchen, I'm changing the baby's diaper and here comes someone telling me about, oh, mom, in my book I just read, and
yeah.
la, 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 and they go on, and I'm not asking for a narration.
That's right.
You know?
But it comes naturally.
Yes, and they're
That's
choosing
right.
what to share. So
yes.
they're not, you know, being
Laboriously.
Forced to go through every single part of the book and
yes.
and retell
yes.
it.
Yes, that's so good. That's so helpful. And I like to remind families, so if you go to a great restaurant, what's the first thing you do tomorrow morning?
Yeah, you tell other people about
that's
it. You've
right.
got to go to this restaurant.
That's right.
Yeah.
So when a child's engaged and excited about books, you can't stop them from
mm-hmm.
talking about
mm-hmm.
those books. Sometimes you're like, have mercy.
It's
you
so
know?
True.
Right.
I'll see one of my children yeah. coming in particular who's quite a talker. And I think, oh, boy. And she probably will tell me every detail of the entire book.
That's
yeah.
Right. But that's what happens when a child is excited about books.
Right, right.
But when we're forcing this kind of artificial, I'm going to read to you and you better pay attention because mm-hmm. when I'm done, mm-hmm. you better be able to tell me what immediately, like, you know, like we always say, reading is a privilege. It's a joy. It's a reward.
Mm-hmm.
And now it becomes everything's a test.
Yes. And I think it's forcing something to happen early that's going to, over time, develop in your children.
Good point.
Because I was a homeschool graduate and, you know, I saw firsthand, I've got friends who are PhDs and doctors and professors. And, you know, these people never had to do narrations. And yet somehow
yeah.
they became really smart and went to great colleges and are super successful. So it's not that the idea of what happens in narration mm-hmm. where you really digest what mm-hmm. you're reading, it becomes your own. It's not that that's not what we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't have to be forced. It's like giving that, you know, reading comprehension test.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's mm-hmm. more or less what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely obsolete and unnecessary.
It is.
Especially for a homeschool family.
That's right.
You're not trying to make sure that, you know, all 30 of your students have read.
That's right.
You know they've read it. You've seen them sitting on the couch, you know, for hours with their nose in this book. So.
Exactly. Oh, Christina, this is so helpful. I can't believe it. I just knew that your story would set the captives free because you're not alone.
Yeah.
And we all talk about believing your the still small voice between you and the Lord versus the voices of wonderful people
mm-hmm.
who you respect
mm-hmm.
and admire.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the difference and how to build that confidence?
Yeah. What popped in my mind when you asked that is the idea of maybe you go to a shoe store and you find the cutest pair of shoes. And I've done this before, especially when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, and you buy them anyway, even though they're kind of uncomfortable, but they look really good.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you wear them, oh, they are uncomfortable. And so you end up not wearing them.
Mm.
They end up sitting in the closet or, you know, you get blisters or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like that. There's just this agitation, it doesn't fit right. It's uncomfortable. And maybe it's looking right in the sense of you're looking like your peers or whatever. You're trying to force this, you know, you're trying to force the round peg in the square hole, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think that's it's just kind of a gut when you're a believer, you know, it is that still small voice. It's not like a blaring alarm going off. But yeah.
So I like to use the analogy of wearing Saul's armor. When King David was, you know, going after the giant, Saul gave him his armor to wear. But King David was, Saul was a huge man, and King David was a youth. And so often we put on Saul's armor and we're clinking around and feel like we can't even walk two steps. And finally David ripped it off and just took his sling and his stone.
That's the perfect example.
Being who we are and not being, as God said to Jeremiah, not being afraid of their faces. You know, there's always someone in our life that's more confident, more authoritative, more like, just trust me and do this. And it's like, no, I don't trust you and I'm not going to do it because I have to walk my own walk with my children.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It can save families so much trouble. And of course, as I've told you, I spend my days consulting with families who've done exactly what you've done and warn all the and Dorothy Moore used to talk about the fallacy of the idea of I'm going to the store and I'm going to buy 9-year-old shoes for my son.
Right.
Who would do that?
Right.
Because we know that every little 9-year-old boy's feet are different than their other friends' feet. But yet we do that academically with our children.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Because even within your own home, you're going to do something different.
With
you know,
each child.
I'm on my third kid teaching to read, and it's a completely different experience. It's been different with every single one. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
This has been so great. Any last thought that you want to, if you were, you know, speaking to a new homeschool family, just walking into this world, what would you say to them?
I think I would say to just trust God that if He has called you to homeschool, He will equip you. He will equip you, not your next door neighbor, you know, not the group at your church or whoever. And yes, we all are going to need community and He will provide that community, but He will equip you. So to listen and to be patient and to wait on Him and to just step out in faith and have confidence in what you feel like God's calling your family to. And again, be, you know, be humble and recognize that homeschooling is going to feel imperfectly perfect. It's just because it's changing and it's messy, but that's part of the beauty of it. It's organic. And if you're able to let go of that perfectionism, maybe that some of us have, you can really enjoy the mess and the beauty in the mess. Yeah.
That's so good. That is so good. Would you mind praying for these families?
Absolutely. I would love to. Lord, I thank You that when You look on us, You see us as sheep that are helpless and harassed, and You see how hard it is for us. And You are full of compassion, that You aren't waiting for us to get it right. You're not tapping Your foot. You're not rolling Your eyes. Your arms are wide open. And You just want us to come to You and to find rest. And so, Lord, I pray that You would minister to each mother, father, family that's listening, and that they would come to You with their weariness, with their burdens, and that they would find rest, that they would find that Your yoke, what You're calling their family to, is light and easy. Not that it's not going to take work, but that there's a place of peace and rest and joy. So, Lord, I pray that You would deliver us from being stolen from and from being beat up by the enemy, by ourselves, and that we would really enjoy the wonderful gift that homeschooling our children is. And we thank You, Lord, for this gift and for the freedom that we have in this country and, for Your great love and Your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Woo! This has ministered to me, and I know it's going to minister to our listeners. So thank you, Christina.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast.
If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of homeschool made simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.